This meeting is now being recorded.
Three talks given here, we came to the conclusion that man body is the highest in all creation. It is a golden opportunity we have got, because in this man body alone we can know God. And to know God, we have to know ourselves first. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the mind or intellect. With intellect you only try to grasp certain things. It is the soul alone that can know the old soul, because soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness, and our soul is a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. So first, to know God, we will have to know ourselves first. Like knows the like. But unfortunately, our soul is environed by mind and outgoing faculties. Our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties are dragged like anything by the outer enjoyments. So, all masters said that we should know ourselves first. Know thyself. East and west makes no matter, you see. Those who have known God, they say the same thing. But to know ourselves, we will have to know it not at the level of feelings or drawing inferences, but by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. Outgoing faculties will have to be controlled, mind to be stilled, and intellect also to cease for a while after understanding what is what. Only then we can know ourselves. It is a matter of pure self-analysis, rising above body consciousness. To know God at the level of feelings or drawing inferences are subject to error, seeing is above all. And this practical experiences of rising above body consciousness is had at the feet of some who rise above body consciousness daily. Saint Paul said, I die daily. Dying daily means what? As the soul leaves the body at the time of death, same process you have to undergo. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mystery of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. At the time of death, you know, the outward expression of the soul is attention. Attention is withdrawn from all outside, and anybody go to the man who is deathbed, he does not recognize him, because his attention is withdrawn from all outside. Then the lower body is benumbed, lower chakras are broken, we come at the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When the eyes are upturned, so learn to die so that you may be with him. So, no knowing oneself, as I told you, this experience of demonstration can be heard at the feet of somebody who rises daily. He also is competent to give you a demonstration of that. You'll see that you have risen, you are not the body. So, this man body is a wonderful house we live in. In which there are so many apertures of the eyes, of the ears, of the nostrils, mouth and to underneath. We cannot run away out of it. We are controlled. So our body works so long as we are in the body. And we are in the body so long as we are controlled in the body by some higher power, which is according to the scriptures. They say it is the God into expression power called Nama, our world. So when that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. So rising above body consciousness by self-analysis gives you practically what is knowing oneself. When you know self, you see some. One is leaving the body, you see, when karmic link is broken, cerebral cord, which is based on the reactions of the past, is broken, such a soul never returns. But if you know to rise above body consciousness while alive, process is the same. But you then watch some power is controlling you. And I told you the other day, one atheist was at his deathbed. He had in his room a big motto, God is nowhere. A child came up and began to read. G-O-D God, I-S is, N-O-W now, H-E-R-E here, God is now here. And then that man dying said, yes, child, yes, some power is there. So, it is knowing oneself by self-analysis, it is just rising above body consciousness. When you know that power which is controlling us now in the body, that becomes apparent. So all other practices, in the man body alone, we can know God. And all the world is full of practices, you see, we do one way or the other, so many things. Those are only preparation for the ground. So those are good actions, of course. But to have some models before us, it is just to understand something. But to see that thing for which that model stands, that is something else. So the other day it was also explained that God is wordless, nameless, ashabd. When it came into being, into expression, that absolute God wanted, I wish to be many. There was vibration that resulted in two things, light and sound. God is light, and God is music of the spheres, nada. So these are the two outward expressions of God into expression power, which is controlling the whole universe, and also controls us in the body. So that can be contacted when we rise above body consciousness to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye. So it is a practical question which can be demonstrated. And when you see for your own self what is what, then only you can be convinced, not before. At the same time, something more was explained to you. Man is afraid of dying for two reasons. One, we do not know how to leave the body. First, We are not accustomed to it. We are so much attached outside that we cannot dare to withdraw from outside. Sometimes we do wish to withdraw from outside, but we are so much identified with the outside things, even if we want to leave, we cannot leave. You see? So, for that reason, we have to withdraw from outside. If you know how to deal with body day to day, if you die daily, as St. Paul said, you take cross daily, cross taking, stand up, just going above, then the death becomes a matter of joy, because all glory and beauty lies within you. Astral plane is more beautiful than the outer physical plane. Causal is still more, and higher plane is still higher beauty and higher bliss. So once a man has an experience of that, he would like to go any time he would possibly go. Now as you are not in contact with that, mind is just given up to the outward enjoyments, so it gives some little bliss. These are two things I put to show the other day. Now what we are doing? We have made models of the man body. So man body is the true temple in which we live, and also that power that controls us in the body. Whom we want to contact, and the one who wants to contact, both in the same body. But we cannot say, because our soul is in the control of mind, mind is in the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are tagged like anything by the outside enjoyments, identified with the ourselves so much that you have forgotten ourselves. So if you know how to rise daily, from body God sins, there is no sting of death in that. Scriptures do tell us. Hindu scriptures tell us, when the soul leaves this physical body, man experiences pain like terrible pain, like a scorpion when bites anybody, stung by a scorpion. In the beginning, it's only just slight pinching. Then that gives terrible pain. They compare to a 1,000 scorpions stinging together. Mohammedans came to tell us, when soul leaves the body, it feels pain like that, as a bushy, thorny bush is taken to the rectum and drawn to the mouth. You see, man dying, how terrible he feels sometimes, you see. So Master tells us, learn to die so that you may begin to live. All Masters had in their own language. And the other thing is, we do not know where, what is your fate after leaving the body. But two things we don't dare. We are afraid of death. If we sit at the feet of somebody who can give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness and a link of the God into expression power, which is light and sound, that I told you just now, that's the way back to absolute God. Direct way, no eye passes it to be made. That's the natural yoga, you know. When mind gets that bliss, then naturally he would like to avoid outer enjoyments like anything. Now what we are doing, we have made the model of the man body outside, dome-shaped. All temples, Hindu temples. Nose has shapes, churches-like. Masks, forehead-shaped. They have put in two symbols of God into expression, there is light and sound. We go there, there is a model to show that such like light and such like sound is within you. So long they were practical people, they gave them experience, demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness, have a contact with that light and sound, which is the outward expression, aspect of the God into expression power. They were convinced. But for want of practical people, these things have become be all and end all. They were only martyred to show that such like light of God and sound principle is within you. For want of practically people, there was nobody to demonstrate the light within us, and we simply go to the churches and the mosques and the other things, light the candle there, ring the bell there. outer worship, this light you cannot receive. So you see, it is only, you see, following the model which went to show that such like light within you, and we have to rise our physical body and have contact with the two light, with the two sound, which is reverberating within the man body in all creation. So those who have seen that, they say body is the temple of God. Master say, man body is the two temple of God, in which the light of God shines. So we are so much given up for want of practical people. We engage from day to day in these outward models which are made to for the preparation on the ground, to let people understand what is what. When the Master meets us, he opens the single eye within us, third eye, single eye, whatever it is, Chivnesa it is called. So that light he sees for himself. Then you'll find, you see, to deal the body is very easy, you see. Jaya, it is a matter of jaya. Kabir said, people are afraid of hearing the name of God, of death. I'm very much overjoyed when I hear the name of death. Because it's only then I can unite with the God overhead. So this I am explaining to you what I gave out in my previous two or three talks. I am now talking about Guru Amar Das, the third guru of the sixth. He was engaged in outward practices, models, all schools of thought for 70 long years. But naturally, you see, you are not satisfied. When you see a thing, then say, God is light. If you don't see a thing, God is light. You are not seeing the light of God. If you say, God is light, is it true? No. So Guru Amar Das, when after 70 long years, now can his heavenly open to you, God made some arrangement to bring him in contact with the second Guru of the sixth. He got that experience of rising above body consciousness and opened the third or the single eye within to see the light of God, and he said, God is light. Then he says, I have spent 70 long years only engaged in the outer, in the methods which concern exotic side only. They are good actions, of course, because they are meant for God. But the doership is there, ego. Whatever you will sow, so shall you reap. You have good thoughts, you have good actions, results. You have bad thoughts, bad results. This coming and going, you will go where you are attached. This goes on like anything. But when you see that power is overhead, as I explained to you, that atheist man, yes, my child, there is power overhead. That you only come to know, if you now rise above body consciousness, you keep for yourself, power is controlled. When you see what you have the experience of God, what God, not the absolute God. Absolute God, nobody seen God, absolute God, at any time. It is only a matter of behold coming into expression. He was wordless, he was nameless. When it came into the world, it was called word, it was called nama, it was called shabda. So there are two aspects of word. Thy lamp is into world is a lamp unto my feet. By coming in contact with Nama, you see the light comparing to hundreds and thousands of suns rising together. And in whosoever that light is effulgent, truly speaking, he is a Sikh. One form, one outer label or the other, carrying, belonging to different schools of thought or social bodies, does not necessarily mean you have achieved that very object for which you have joined that school of thought. A true Sikh can become only when you see the light of God. Hindu is one who sees the light within. Krishna will also see the light of God. Mahadeva will see the light of God. The same thing for all this. So long as we do not see him, it is just like blindness work, you see. Buddha Nasi said God is light. When he sees that he is light and he is the controlling power keeping us and we are mere puppets in his hand, naturally that loses all ego. Because you see some higher power is working. So Guru Amar Das, when he saw that, he said, without seeing him, say that he, you say his prayers, praise him, it is just like a blindness work. See and then say. All masters say. Unless you see your praising God is good, then for the good thought, for at least it is towards God, but your ego, your doership is not God. So naturally, as you sow, so shall you reap. When you see that power working, I am not working, you see, that you all lose, you lose your ego. So come in contact with God into expression power. When you see that is controlling power, that is keeping us in the body and his, we are mere puppets in his hand, naturally ego goes. That can be had only when you sit at the feet of some really adept, called by any name you like, who opens your inner eye, you see the light of God within you. So at that time he gave all his gist, or the digest of his teaching, what he gave in one name, that I am going to present before you. By giving all this, in previous 2000, giving summary here, he said, look here, where is God? He said, God is in this very cave of the body. Cave is always long and dark, you see? It's a long cave. Don't think it is there. It is in the cave of the body, it does live, you see? In this, that God, who is never ending, you see, and who is above all outgoing faculties, that lives in it. Body is the temple of God. Maulana Rumi tells us that our Prophet told us that God says, he says, I am so great that all this earth, sky and plains, higher and lower, all this creation is not sufficient to contain me in them. I'm so great. But he says, it's strange enough that I abide in the heart of a devotee. And I'm in everybody. I reside in every heart. Kabir says, I went to have a pilgrimage to the Makkah Medina. In the only way, God met me. He began to fight with me, saying, who told you I'm here? I'm in you. So we are, after finding him by going round from place to place, all master digest I'm giving you. I need not quote. There's hundreds of quotations there. They say, the whom you want to is in you. He's your controlling power. He also resides in the body. Body is the true temple of God. Outward models are made to give you some idea. Such type power is within you. So unless we see that power, we cannot lose ego. And so long the ego is not gone, we come round and round and round. So all masters say to us like that. He says, God resides within you, just like, take the case of mortal. The more you grind in water, the more then color it gets. As the fire is in the wood, by rubbing it, you get the fire. As butter is in the milk, but you cannot have direct, that should be changed to curd, and curd should be shaken, and then the butter will come out of it. So such like God is actually you. He's just a teller. that God resides in us. Different saints have only few some instances. The God resides in the heart of everybody. See? But we do not see Him. Why? He says it is a sort of, you see, what is the cataract when it is the cover comes to the pupil of the body, man does cannot see. If that is removed carefully, then sight is restored. Similarly, when our attention is withdrawn from all outside and just taken to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of eyes, which is the tenth door in the body, which opens into the beyond, where you knock and shall be opened unto you. There are 10 doors in the body. So, Guru Amar Das gives in all ways the equation how he got you and why people are going amiss. So first he says, to whom you want to continue, gravity resides in your man body, in not all. And that he is latent within you. You see? And all this outer expression is of only God into expression power. All this came out of him, then where that place where he is not. You see, in the air, there is nothing to be seen. If there is nothing in this air, there is love, God. When you see through a microscope, you see, that magnifies all things about 700 times more, then you see it is full of insects. They are there even now. Either those things are magnified to come up to our level, or our inner attention so much materialized they become to their level, you see. So there is God. Masters and they have seen this in this very man body. And those who have found it there, those who try to find him out in outward practices or observances, they will never get it. That's good action, of course, they don't deny. Ego is there, doership is there. You have to sow, as you sow, so shall you reap. Good action will bring you good. Your coming and going will go round and round. When you see that he is the worker, your ego is lost, naturally your coming and going ended. This is what he said, you see. When he come to the feet of Master, he gives a contact with that God into expression power, which is called Word, which is called Shabda, which is called Naam. Then you see for yourself God is there. But God absolute not, I tell you. God into expression power. The two aspects of which is light. You see the light of God, you see the music of the spheres. Now he thanks God, oh God, I thank you very much. I sacrifice myself to you. I've been in 70 long years in such, and I thank to my Guru. At whose feet I got this experience. I sacrificed myself not 100 of time on the Master, the only Master who has made God manifest in me. So you see, we need teacher at every step, you see. Even the children need parents, brothers and sisters, teacher. In schools, we want teachers. In all outer aspects, all subjects are related to the outgoing faculty, mind or intellect. We want guidance over there. And this subject, which is when you rise above body consciousness, you rise above outgoing faculty, don't you need anybody? You do need somebody. But why we are afraid of it? Because the world is full of teachers. Excuse me, now I say. Christ also says, they come as wolves, but they are ravening wolves. They come as lambs, but they are ravening wolves. There's so much, I mean, acting, posing, going on, the people cannot decide which is what is what. And Master lay out one criterion for that, unless you see yourself what the Master says, and you testify to it, don't believe the words of the Master. It's a very great criterion. This can differentiate from the right, wrong, right from the wrong. So he says, oh God, I'm thankful to my Guru. who had made that God into special power, after which I was 70 long years manifested. Thanks both in nature, the gratefulness on the heart. Now, what he said, he said, first thing is, that Nam, God into expression, which has got two aspects, when you come into contact with it, that gives you everlasting life. Amrut means the water of life, which gives you everlasting life.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was titled Shabd or Word, and it was recorded in London on September 17th, 1972. Our reader this morning is Christine Clevenger. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, David.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Good morning to all of Master's children, his devoted souls. I will be continuing the reading from a talk titled Within This Mortal Form, published in the September 1974 issue of Sat Sandesh. Connection with the true beloved is a permanent matrimony, so treasure the Guru's word. Once one is connected to the Lord, one will never die. There is no sorrow. How does one find the husband who will never die? Who are the fortunate ones who get the connection? Travel ye the four corners, but the perpetual marriage with him is not attained without the Satguru. We were given this mortal form for the special purpose of that spiritual marriage, and you can consider it a great misfortune if it does not occur in your lifetime. In the human body, it is thy turn to meet God. All other work is useless. Keep the company of the Master and meditate only upon the Nam. No matter what you attain in the world, it is of no avail toward this work. Is there any helping factor? The Masters say, keep the company of the Satguru. He is the manifested Lord and can withdraw your scattered attention, concentrate it, and rejoin it to the greater attention. Join me back to God, anyone. This is done through the Master's word, the word that only the Master can give. God is wordless, but when he expressed himself, his power came forth, and that is called word, also Nam, Shabd, etc. The Master is the word made flesh. He manifests in the Guru and distributes the Shabd. He connects the people to the God in expression power, which has the two phases of light and sound, the very power which is imitated in places of worship through the various symbols. By practice of this word, the soul gains the everlasting marriage. The physical form is very beautiful, but not from the application of toilet requisites. If the body is not washed with soap for 3 or 4 days and dressed with perfume, etc., it starts smelling. And where does this smell come from? It comes from the person's thoughts. The Masters do not use perfume, but a fragrance issues forth from their person. Such golden opportunity is at hand because we have the man body. But what are we doing with that opportunity? Brothers, even the gods and goddesses are anxious to be born into the mortal form. It is no ordinary thing. When the human form was made, God put his own breath of life into it, his very own essence. Then He ordered the angels to bow before it. It is exalted enough, therefore, to be fully respected. Devotion to the Lord brings a radiance which burns out all ego. This is what devotion or bhakti to God can do. However, there are two types of devotion. One is at the level of mind and senses, and the other is received from the guru. The latter is called gurumukh bhakti. With gurumukh bhakti, the sound springs forth without effort. When the guru gives devotion, you will start hearing the sound. The sound comes from above, and that is my Gurudev. True devotion is done through the guru, but what tells you that you have been given that devotion? What criterion is there to judge by? All creation do gurumukh bhakti. When love develops, the light manifests within. Furthermore, through true devotion, the ego vanishes because one sees that the Lord is the doer. Bhakti done through the mind and senses involves good actions which deserve reward. But births and deaths continue due to one's doership being present. The shabd burns out ego and attachment, and the gurumukh gets the everlasting light. The one who becomes a gurumukh finds that all ego and attachment disappear. All praise to the perfect master's word. From him one gets the true union. By getting connected to a perfect master, one will eventually merge with the ultimate Lord. There are words. There are the master's words. And there is the word of the master. You have to understand the difference between all three. We are reading the master's words, the words which have been spoken by a master and which have become scripture. Those words tell us of another word, the word which actually becomes apparent by the grace of God through the guru. One meets the master, and the hidden word is made manifest. If you get connected to that word, it will take you to the wordless state. This is the only way back to God. And the guru's word is in all. That word is innate in all men, not the master's words, which were uttered by masters, perhaps 500 or 2,000 years ago. That word of the master has been vibrating through all four yugas or ages. The word vibrates in the four yugas, making the truth ever audible. Also, the guru's word can be heard in Chokunti. Even as far as Chokunti, one can hear the music of the spheres. I have just told you that. The light within and the continuous sound rejoin you to the true one. You can also call it Kalam Ikadim, or voice of God, or Nod, or Anhat Shabd, or music of the spheres, or light and sound principle. Whatever you call it does not alter the fact that it is the one way back to absolute God. The sound that vibrates is the guru, and the guru is the sound. All these different words refer to the same thing, the hidden sound. The hidden nam is made manifest. Also, word is the guru, guru is the word, and in that word is the nectar of immortality. It has the power to give everlasting life. When the disciple desires, the guru will appear, and when he appears, the word is given, word which has been vibrating since the world began, and which will stop only at the end of the world. It can also be called Gita, for Gita means song. I once went to a place where the people requested that I give a discourse on the Gita, and so I told them that when the world began, this song began, and that will finish only when the world finishes. It is a song which is taught only by those who have an inner knowledge. In this mortal form, everything exists. Khand, mandal, patala, the astral, the physical, and the lower physical worlds. The life giver, who sustains the whole world, resides in this form of the human body, which is really a very wonderful abode. The whole macrocosm lies in the microcosm of the physical form. Even God himself is there. Go within, and you will meet him, and you will come to realize how great Khand and Brahmand are. And the key to all this is with the Guru, who can give you an experience of that which is written in the scriptures. The Guru Mukh treasures the Nam, which makes this mortal form ever beautiful. Whoever becomes a Guru Mukh has a true regard for the value of Nam, and by being in constant tune with it, has a perpetual supply of its food for the soul. This benefit reflects in the body also, which becomes tranquil, serene. That food of Nam is the very bread and water of life. The Lord is ever-existent, all wisdom, perfect bliss. And when the soul realizes this, it also expresses its nature of all wisdom and joy. All the various kinds of unhappiness disappear by themselves, and even outer aspects of personality and character change for the Guru Mukh. A Guru Mukh is he who comes to the Guru's feet, accepts his teaching, and practices it. He lives up to that teaching to such an extent that he becomes the mouthpiece of the Guru. Father and son are drenched in the same color. He is an air-conditioned being, affected by neither unhappiness nor happiness. The man who is unaffected by outer misery or happiness, gold and clay, are alike to him. This is the criterion of a Guru Mukh, who never suffers from the ups and downs of life, but is always in perfect equipoise. Birth and death, riches and poverty, have no significance for him. So many things happen around him, but he remains singularly aloof and unaffected by them. He is the very embodiment of bliss, and his life reflects that bliss. In this mortal form, God resides, but that invisible Lord cannot be seen. So, if you want to realize him, he knows the highest, who is himself at that height. Rise above the senses, and you will see where the Lord resides. Ignorant Manmukh unravels it not, but searches only outwardly. Those who have not been connected to Nam, even if they have met a guru, have no awe for the true master's greatness and always talk through their mind. They are called Manmukh. Manmukh also has God in him and has all the potential of the Guru Mukh, but yet he remains a Manmukh. A Persian saint relates that God once said, "I am so big that all the highest peaks and lowest valleys cannot contain me. The entire earth, sky, and sea are not fit to receive me." I am so great, but strangely enough, in the heart of a devotee do I dwell. And if you would like to realize me, then go to him. So it is that with the Guru's blessing, you see that God's temple is within you. But the Manmukh will merely protest that the bag of filth we call a body cannot possibly be God's temple. Brothers, even in the finest palaces, you will find toilets and garbage receptacles. This mortal form is God's temple, and not a bag of filth. And furthermore, you have only got this form through God's grace. He resides within, and so do we. And the tragedy is that we do not talk to him. It is a golden opportunity, and the Guru has the key to it. If you do not meet the Master and use that opportunity, then the hidden wealth remains hidden. By serving the Satguru, one achieves perpetual happiness. The Satguru reveals the invisible. True service to the Satguru gains his grace, and nothing can attack the devotee who is saved from the onslaught of the body, mind, and senses. The Satguru opens the eye through which the Lord can be seen. A drasht, or invisible, agochar, incomprehensible, alok, inconceivable, apara, infinite, thus does the Guru Mukh see with his eye. The Lord is not seen with the eyes of the flesh, but rather with the Shiv Netra, the third eye, the single eye. That inner eye, which each human being possesses, can be opened on the first day of inner practice by a true master. Within this mortal form is a treasure of jewels. It is a treasure house of pure devotion. The invaluable treasure of divinity lies within the mortal being. It is a treasure house of devotion. Go within and see for yourself that all glory and beauty lie within. We choose to remain fascinated by outer attractions, but the key of this human house has been given to the Guru by the one who made it, and none can enter the house without the Lord's sanction. Neither can any gain possession of that key. The realized person gives the way up. Yogis have spent lives, hundreds of years long, just to learn how to rise above the physical form, and the true seeker can get that gift on the first day. A little experience on the first day, what a wonderful concession. In this mortal form are the nine worlds, with towns, markets, shops, and in this form, you get the nine supernatural powers through the Guru's shabd and thought. When the devotee starts practicing the shabd, he will be able to see the inner worlds, astral, causal, etc. The Lord himself will manifest within, and when he manifests, then the true union or marriage takes place. Great is man. Great is the mortal form, but man remains in ignorance unless the secrets are opened up by the Master. Within this mortal form, the scales are weighing the goods. The Lord himself is the weigher. Mind is a precious jewel there of great value. The Lord can evaluate everything in us. He sees each and every thought or action. A great power lies within also, and we call that the mind. Something like fire, mind is a good servant, but a bad master. When fire is under control, everything is all right. But if the fire gains control, then mind therefore can be great. O mind, you are the form of light. Recognize yourself. Mind is of the essence of the negative power, but the negative power is also of the God power. The masters advise us to befriend the mind and to make the best use of it. Swamiji Maharaj says that if one befriends his mind, it will do all one's work. Mind is not necessarily the bad medium that some people think. It has invaluable use. However, one must take into consideration that its nature is of habit. If one does the same thing twice, 6, 20 times, mind gets the habit of doing that and continues helplessly. So we should take advantage of its habitual nature by making a daily habit of devotion to the Lord, by enjoying the daily company of the Master. Having developed that habit, you will find that by missing even a single day of that practice, you will feel there is something wrong, a vacant feeling that something is missing. There is no price on Nam. It is given by the Guru. It is a gift of nature given freely to all, just as other gifts of nature, like air, water, sun, etc. All these priceless things are given free. If a certain value could be placed on them, they would no longer be free and only the rich would buy them. The true benefit of Nam comes only to the Guru Mukh, and the Guru Mukh must first become a Guru Sikh, or disciple of the Guru. The Guru comes to the world to give away this gift freely to whomsoever seeks it, but the tragedy is that there is no one to take it. The whole night long, while this great blessing is being distributed, all eyes are so sleep-laden that no human being is aware how or to whom that gift is given. If you would be a Guru Mukh, search within this mortal form. All others will remain in forgetfulness. When this is God's temple, why remain in forgetfulness, especially when the means are available? When God manifests in any form, then the union occurs. This union, I have to repeat, is dependent upon travel the four corners, but that perpetual marriage with God is not attained without the Satguru. When the Satguru gives a little capital of that inner knowledge with which to start, it is then increasable daily. The Masters give us hope. They say there is hope for everyone. Guru Amar Das said, "From low we become pure by coming to the Satguru's feet." You can also do that. Every saint has his past and every sinner a future. No matter what may be your faith or belief, search out the hidden truth from within your own mortal form. If, for example, a thief knows there's a great deal of treasure hidden under the floor of a certain abandoned house, do you think that when night comes, he will be able to refrain from entering that house when all is quiet to dig the treasures out? He will not rest or sleep until he has dug every bit of it up. All the scriptures then tell us that the spiritual treasure lies deep within us. Have you ever even thought about digging it out? No, because you have no time for that. Search within this form. This advice especially applies to those who would become Guru Mukhs, for this is the essence of the Guru's teaching. To whomsoever he gives, receives that gift. What will cunningness avail the others? It is the Lord's blessing entirely. He gives according to his will and pleasure. This gift cannot be got by giving, by being clever, cunning, etc. Nam is received through his merciful grace alone. And upon whom does he shower his mercy? Upon the heart which yearns for him. Oxygen helps the fire in its action, and similarly Nam is available according to the demand. There is bread for the hungry and water for the thirsty. The Lord, existing in each being, sees which child is really yearning for him, and his mercy would not allow that child to remain unhappy for long. He makes the arrangement for the meeting with the Master. It is God himself who does all this. Otherwise, how can one whose eye is not open seek for himself? However, there should be no trickery in the seeker's heart, no cunning words to try and hide the facts. If up to now you have found nothing, openly admit it. Do selfless service and be humble. Within that mortal form, fear and awe develop with the Guru's blessing. When the seeker has met the Guru and has received the inner contact, the Guru takes his place within and is ever present there. He never leaves the child. From then on, through this relationship, the love and faith of the disciple pulls him toward his master, but he goes with both awe and fear, out of respect and out of apprehension that he may have displeased the master in some way. This is a condition which develops only with the master's grace. When the disciple sees and therefore knows that the master is within him, watching his every word and action, he will be too afraid of displeasing his guru and will shun all erring actions. This type of condition in the disciple leads to oneness with the guru. In this mortal form are Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, through whom the world is maintained. These three powers control creation, preservation, and destruction, respectively. The combined strength of the three maintains the whole of creation, and all three powers dwell in the human form. Brahma governs the sensual nerve center, which controls birth. Vishnu governs the navel nerve center, controlling preservation. And Lord Shiva governs the storehouse of the vital force at the heart center. You may excuse me, but the fact is that when the soul leaves the body at the time of death, the Brahma center is finished first, secondly the Vishnu center, and lastly the Shiva center. But the man is yet alive. He has left three centers only. Do you understand this? The Lord himself is the greater control, and these three powers have been made by him and are a part of his great design. One sees and yet does not see. Great is this design. It is really astounding to some people when they learn that these three powers work in the body and serve it, and yet they themselves are greater. And this is proven by the fact that the soul is still there after those powers have finished. All the different powers and their working and the functions of the various gods and goddesses can be fully understood only when the soul goes within and sees the design of creation at the source. The True One created this play of transmigration. The whole of creation is the play of the Lord, and the world questions why. This question was put to Hazur, whose reply was this: First, reach the one who has made all creation, and then ask him. All masters usually point out it is his will. And one master explains, the magician put on a show, and the whole world came to see it. People ask, why did he do it? Why do people have children? That is his will also. After the birth, the child is governed by laws already in existence, and the Lord himself accompanies the child into the body and into the world. He has never left a child alone. He is ever existent, and he is the controlling power in the mortal form. He is our life sustainer, sustaining this great concession of the human life, and has given all gods and goddesses to serve it. All others in creation are to serve, but your birth is the highest. You are like a lord among all creation, and everything has been designed for the service of man. If man were developed, he would see he is micro-god and no small thing. But we must remember that the law of cause and effect was also designed into creation. So as ye sow, so shall ye reap. And I will end there. I'm going to read one short hymn from Kabir to close. The shadows of evening fall thick and deep, and the darkness of love envelops the body and the mind. Open the window to the west and be lost in the sky of love. Drink the sweet honey that steeps the petals of the lotus of the heart. Receive the waves in your body. What splendor is in the region of the sea? Hark! The sounds of conches and bells are rising. Kabir says, O brother, behold, the Lord is in this vessel of my body. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Christine, for reading for us. We had 85 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.